Shana Tova, to a good year. In other words, Happy New Year, guys. It's Wednesday. At sundown begins this two-day feast celebrating the birth of Adam and the creation of the world. Exciting times. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And we pray you will enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on eschatology. And as always, Lord, we pray to you today. We covet your presence here on our show. We thank you for the opportunity to bring your word to everybody. I want to lift up all those that have written, that have emailed us with their prayer requests, and hold them up before you, because you're our healer and you're the answer of our prayer. You're our strength and you're our rock. And you strengthen us, Lord. We want to lift up the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, to you. Strengthen him. Keep him from caving. Give him the strength that he needs in these tough times that's facing Israel and indeed the world. And I also want to lift up my family members and Sheila's family members, that we all, in this time of repentance, turn to you, Lord, and only you, and trust, which means to hope, and hope, which means the confidence that you can forgive our sins and will, and you will make us clean. And we will have a happy new year. Amen.
Oh, amen. Lashana Tova to you, John, and Hagamatsa.
Oh, thank you. Hagamatsa. Well, that's a little off.
No, Hag Sameach. Oh, I could start off good.
Okay.
But anyway, shalom to all of you out there. We are in the fourth week of a series on the fall festivals. Last week, we covered Yom Kippur, also called the Day of Atonement, which, by the way, is October 8th, mm-hmm. and we'll be back on the radio on October 9th, just so that everyone knows that.
Oh, glad to threw that in.
But we've examined the days preceding Yom Kippur, called the Days of Awe, that begins at the close of Rosh Hashanah, or the Happy New Year,
mm-hmm.
and the anniversary of the creation of the world and Adam.
And the crowning of the king,
one of
the things that happens.
Right? Yeah, oh yeah, we've talked about all those idioms.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend that you go back and listen to those programs, all archived on the web at shofarministries.net.
Or .org, if you prefer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. but on our Gregorian calendar, New Year's falls on September 29th and 30th.
Okay.
It lasts for two days,
Thursday and Friday, which actually, you know, on Thursday actually begins.
The whole time.
On sundown Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay, because we're on Bible time here. We're
yes,
talking
we
about Bible time, right?
Yes, we are. So New Year's Eve
mm-hmm.
would be Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Going to have a party?
Yeah. Why not?
Yes.
Have apples and honey.
Isn't it nice to know the real New Year?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy about that. Anyway, today and the next time we air, which will be in 2 weeks, as mm-hmm. I said, on the 9th of October at a new time,
yeah.
9 o'clock.
9 p.m. Can you stay up that late, folks?
Yeah, it's just when the kids go to bed, they'll be able to pay more attention.
That's right.
That's right.
There you go.
But we will be discussing the last of the seven feasts called Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
It has a double fulfillment, so we'll begin today and finish on the Sunday just before the Feast of Tabernacles begins. How timingly is that?
That's right. What do you mean about a double fulfillment?
Well, it's got double fulfillment. Two.
It's
double
two.
Means two.
Two. Thank you. That explains everything.
Yes.
I'm guessing it's a double fulfillment because you say that Jesus has fulfilled this once.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fulfilled.
Halfway.
Well, he's
come. You're giving away too much.
Oh, okay. We just got to remember.
We're going to get into that.
We'll get into that.
Yes.
Okay. And as a matter of fact, before we get into that on tonight's teaching, is there any important news you might want to share with us?
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
Good going,
well,
Derek.
I guess there is.
All right. Yes, there is.
Okay.
Not as much as last week, so we're not going to have to talk too long about the news. And people do tell me that, you know, they like to hear the Bible teaching probably even more so.
I know.
So
I know. But you told me this week that everything was going so fast.
Yes.
that you, it was all you could do to keep up with it. So what did you conclude?
Well, of course, the enemies of the Jewish people are still very committed to their destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And as you probably know by now, Palestinians Mahmoud Abbas presented his demand for full statehood recognition at the United Nations on Friday, just minutes, I'm telling you, just minutes after telling a crowd of Palestinian leaders and supporters that they would never recognize a Jewish state. The gall of this man. Now, full recognition requires a two-thirds vote of the Security Council out of 193, where the United States has said it will use a veto power if necessary to keep the measure from passing. Now, of course, Obama would do this because he wants to get reelected next year. And if he doesn't veto that, his hopes of reelection is gone. So there's an ulterior motive here.
Mm-hmm.
But as usual, the left-leaning mainstream news media is presenting a slanted version of events. I've actually seen them praise Obama for his actions with Israel. When in reality, behind the scenes, our president is placing enormous pressure on Bibi Netanyahu to make the concessions being demanded by the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Obama is not backing down in any way from his support of a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as its capital. It is so obvious to me that a political decision has been made for Obama to now appear to support Israel in public, but privately working to force this Jewish state to make impossible concessions in the name of peace. The pressure being brought to bear on Israel to give in is incredible.
Now, this, you see these world powers here dancing, this dance, this political dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dance is going to be over pretty soon, and somebody's going to have to pay the band, all right?
Oh,
so
yeah, absolutely.
What's the bottom line of all this? I mean, somebody's going to, this is all going to come out.
Oh, yeah, well, the Security Council must vote, but they're in absolutely no hurry.
Yep, they want to dance.
And knowing the U.S. will veto denying the Palestinians official member status. Now, I must say that another thing is I think Obama does want them to slow down and not do it because he doesn't really want to have to veto. It'll make the Arabs very unhappy. Instead, if they take enough time, maybe he can get a peace deal going. I mean, he's pushing Netanyahu and Abbas to meet and try to get something done before they even voted the Security Council. That's what's happening.
Hmm.
But the Palestinians, of course, even after Obama does veto it, can then seek an upgraded observer status at the General Assembly. And this, of course, would be as a non-member state. But it would at least acknowledge that the Palestinians control an actual state. And the advantage of this option is that it would require only a simple majority of the General Assembly.
And that would give the Palestinians some clout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This would allow them to, like, sign certain international treaties, which they cannot currently sign, and this will mean thousands of lawsuits against Israel.
Well, that's kind of bad.
And isolation and, really, demonization of the state of Israel. But I'm so glad you prayed for Prime Minister Netanyahu, who came to America seeking to defend his nation from such evil forces that want to destroy Israel. But he condemned the push for Palestinian statehood as a ploy. I don't know why more people don't see it, but the Palestinians want a state without peace. And he told the delegates that. He says, you shouldn't let this happen. Look at Gaza, for heaven's sake.
Mm-hmm.
John, everyone with any brains knows it's a plot against Israel's very survival. The economic, political, military costs alone to Israel are beyond description. But just the pressure alone in Netanyahu is unfathomable. So continue, people, to pray for his calmness and that the stress involved in all this just doesn't make him ill.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I know God is in control and watching all of it. But turmoil continues in the Middle East. And remember, as Zechariah says, Jerusalem will be that final straw that brings God's judgment. So in the meantime, it looks like we have a little more time to witness about Jesus Christ.
Are you saying, what are you saying, that the rapture might not occur this year?
Might not.
Okay. But we know it's the resurrection. This is resurrection.
I'm ready at any
time.
God can come at any time. You know that. I always say that.
I know. But we might be surprised. Pleasantly.
I would have thought that Jerusalem would have had to be divided first before judgment begins. And since we're out of here just before judgment begins, in my thoughts, we could be here for a little longer.
Okay.
Sad as that is.
That's all right.
Except the good thing is
there's
that
more time
to
witness.
That's right.
There's more time to make amends with your friends and people. And yeah, great.
Amen. Yeah. But in Syria, of course, is still kicking. I bet killing.
Yeah, and
Syria
that,
is still killing their rebels.
And this is not pretty. You know, I've been looking at some of this, and these people aren't armed, and they're getting gunned down, and it's not pretty at all. This is horrible.
Yeah. Jordan is seeing some turmoil, and Egypt keeps getting worse. They have cut off all gas flow to Israel and continue to kill many Christians, as well as joining Turkey's ships in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, and thank you. Thanks to us throwing Mubarak under the bus, this is what we now have to deal with.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And what did our president say? Oh, he's a dictator that has to go.
Right.
And it is 100 times worse.
Well, a dictator that needs to go 100 times worse is the guy up in Syria. This guy's bad.
Yeah, right. You're right there. But, you know, even Libya, Gaddafi and his sons are apparently still fighting to stay in power with some 12,000 loyalists going along with them. So not over till it's over,
That's
you know.
That's right.
And I think I did say last week, but I want to reiterate it, that Greece is allowing Israel to use some of its naval bases for a military presence, enabling Israel to operate from the rear of Turkish forces in the event of an attack. So military sources report that the Turkish prime minister is, though, resolved to corner Israel into an inescapable military confrontation very soon. And again, as I said last week, he is using Israel as his ticket to the to regional prestige.
That's right.
Among the Arabs. Definitely a pride thing. And oh, by the way, Saudi Arabia doing everything it can to avoid any uprising in its country. And besides giving out lots of money to the less fortunate, said now they're going to allow women for the first time ever to vote in the next election.
Well, that,
wow.
That's huge. That's some concessions you never thought you'd hear. And it really is a hotbed over in the Middle East. And we're just watching and waiting to see what happens. And if you have a question about the end times and how this is all tied in here, our phone number is 1-888-877-WORD. And remember, spiritually, we have all the feasts fulfilled in our hearts.
We do.
And it's because Yeshua lives inside us. When he does, we have the kingdom of God dwelling inside of us spiritually. And that's what tabernacle really represents. The tabernacles means the dwelling of the spirit in your body as well, because your body's a tabernacle, right? Now, October 13th.
It's a booth. It's a temporary shelter.
It's a temporary shelter. And you know that's true. October 13th is the first full day of Tabernacles, 15th day of the 7th month of Tishrei, and you can check that all out in your Bible, Leviticus 23, verses 39 through 43.
That's right, John. So anyway, right after the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar, God's first chosen would then get ready for the next feast, and then they would have like 5 days in between. And also still in the month of Tishrei, beginning now on the 15th, and they would build and then live in a sukkah.
And a sukkah, by the way, you get 5 days to build this, so get the material now. It's a tent-like booth. It's made from branches and leaves, and if you really want a description of it, just you can look in your Bible again, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 15. It'll give you a pretty good description right there.
And I encourage you to joyfully celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles because, again, it's a picture of the future millennial kingdom. We're going to be part of that.
That's right.
Why can't we celebrate it, too? And I know, Jen, you have many years built a sukkah.
I have, and I'm really thinking of building one this year, and I hope it doesn't go against the building permit or whatever.
We'll never know,
but I'm not planning on making it huge.
No, I don't think so.
And there's a lot of synagogues in the area, and Messianic synagogue in the area that would be welcome you to go check out their sukkah if you want to go take a look.
And go on the internet. They've got plenty of pictures. Yeah. Different ones. It doesn't really matter. The only thing you have to have is a little space in the roof to be able to see the stars.
That's right.
And hope it doesn't rain.
And be careful.
It didn't rain in Israel much, you know. They didn't have to worry about that so much.
Not like we do. So if you have a rainy one, you're still blessed.
Now, I expect you to be sleeping in that sukkah, too, John.
Well, that's a big blessing, to be able to sleep in it. But usually, it's just you have your evening meal
there. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Sukkot does mean booths or tabernacles. Also, it's called the Feast of Ingathering. Remember how the other feasts have all these idioms?
Yeah.
Well, these
are
idioms to go along with Feast of Tabernacles, which is called Sukkot in Hebrew. But it's also called the Feast of Gathering for a very important reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gala time when the fruits, the produce of the field, the orchard, and vineyard are gathered in.
Mm-hmm.
The granaries, the threshing floors, and the wine and olive presses are full to capacity. And one very major thing occurs.
We eat it.
Yes. The tares are destroyed.
What are the tares?
Weeds.
They're destroyed.
Yes. And remember what Jesus said in Matthew? He said, wait, don't destroy the tares now. You wait till the harvest.
Uh-huh.
And that's a picture of us. He's going to wait till the end to get rid of evil.
And that's a huge picture and a clue.
That's a huge picture.
And we'll expand on that a little
Which
bit.
Which tells us this is all going to be happening in the fall.
In the fall. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, so weeks and months of toil and sweat have finally been amply rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
The sowing farmer feels happy and elated. And no wonder Sukkot is also called the season of rejoicing.
Well, there's another idiom, the season of rejoicing.
And the season of joy. These are all idiomatic phrases. So isn't it fitting, and just like God, that Jesus would be born, I believe, at this time, and verified by the angel's idiomatic expression message of Luke 2, where she said, I bring you good tidings and great joy. That is a clue that it was during the season of tabernacles. And, of course, this baby is going to be born. A common verbiage.
Well, so you're saying that expression that I thought came from Christmas cards in Luke 2. And you said she about the angel was a she. We don't know about that. But
I don't mean she.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Genderizing the angel there.
No, but that's New Age. It's
okay.
Not a she.
Okay. Well, anyway, the angel says, I bring you good tidings and great joy, and you say that is?
Common verbiage. During the season.
Okay, just like Lashana Tova, this is just another greeting used in the season.
Right.
Cool.
So,
what a clue.
I just want to have the people understand how important it is to know these things, and this is called Hebraic roots, knowing their customs, their phrases of the day. So that when you read them in the Bible, you'll say, oh, that must have been during the season of tabernacles, which makes total sense because he came to tabernacle amongst men. It is in my fullest understanding that Jesus was born during tabernacles.
And when you see, when your Bible that seems cryptic to you, if you're a new believer, and you start reading, and all of a sudden these pictures and these questions start getting answered, to Hebrew roots, and it's making sense to you, you're going to feel very blessed, and you're going to have more hope. And remember last week we talked about the real word for hope means confidence. You're going to build yourself up in your confidence.
That's right.
In your hope of salvation. You're going to build up.
I don't know. When I see a gold nugget like that, I just get so excited inside. I mean, things just start moving, and it's just amazing.
Oh, and they're not all gold nuggets. Some of them are actual gems. Some are diamonds, even.
Oh, yeah, diamonds for sure. So basically, since we do have Jesus inside of us, and we are that tabernacle that houses him, shouldn't we have joy all the time?
Oh, yeah. We should have it all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Joy unspeakable. And, you know, it's so true. Even when we're going through hard times, and oh my gosh, these last days we are going through a lot of things, with, especially family things, you know? But even with all that, no one can steal the joy of the Lord away from us. knowing that we have our salvation and that soon we're going to spend eternity with Him, that gets us through anything. And no one can steal that joy away. You can only give it away.
Yes.
And no one's getting mine.
And don't let it get choked off by the cares of the world either.
That's right.
Yeah.
But a little bit more about these tares. Jesus told us in Matthew 13:39, mm-hmm. the parable of the tares, that just as the agricultural harvest is in the fall, so will be the final harvest of man and represents the end of the age.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You can read about it in Revelation 14, verse 15. It was Jesus' time to reap with the sickle.
Mm-hmm.
Joel 3:13, talking about the end days, said it also, put in the sickle, and of course to cut down the tares, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great.
Wow. Okay, and then this was also confirmed by James, right?
It is.
Yes.
In chapter 5, verse 7, he speaks of the fall harvest and refers, of course, more specifically to a people who choose to accept the Messiah into their hearts and lives. You know, even Jeremiah sorrowed for a people who were not a part of the harvest in Jeremiah 8:18. Remember, he says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved.
How sad. What's sad?
So to those of you who have accepted the Messiah, you have the joy of Jesus in your heart, but you will also have the literal experience of ushering in tabernacles, for it begins the Messianic kingdom with Jesus as ruler and king over all the earth, a great harvest of all varieties of people, the righteous, and they'll live in the Messianic kingdom.
Yes, the bride and all the resurrected saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, David.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be mortal people as well who live through the 7-year tribulation period called the tribulation saints, who accepted Jesus into their hearts and lives, as well as that 144,000 Jews, Revelation chapter 7, who are sealed in the beginning of the tribulation and protected totally from any harm.
Now we see, now you've shown me very clearly how the feasts follow the harvest and how it's a harvest and a resurrection, but isn't it also called the Feast of Lights?
It is, because Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes, and he says that.
That's right. And we're going to continue talking about that when we come back, but let's just try to finish as much as we can. I'm going to speak kind of fast right now, okay? But one of the things that they do during the Feast of Tabernacles is they get 4 huge 75-foot candles, and they erect them in the temple's outer court.
This is during the first century temple times, right?
That's right. Well, in Old Testament, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Which lit up all of Jerusalem when darkness fell. And it was at this time during the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7, verse 2, that Jesus cries out in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. But there's even more. Scripture also tells us he would be wrapped in swaddling cloths in Luke 2:7. This material was more readily available during the season of tabernacles because of this important custom. It was the priests' used undergarments that were brought to the temple for replacement during this feast. So quite fitting for baby Jesus to be wrapped in a priest's garment at birth, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, when I found this out, I thought, oh, how this just fits. He is our priest and even our high priest that we taught about on last week's program. But there's still more. These swathing cloths then would be used for the wicks that lit the 75-foot candles. So it's just amazing that this is all, you know, happening and how he put everything together.
What a picture. Mm-hmm.
So in John 1:14, again, gives us the huge clue just with the terminology that he uses in the beginning of his book. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us.
Tabernacled.
Another idiom. And the known fact that shepherds really don't have their flock out at December.
So the question on everyone's mind who's listening right now is that, when is the birthday of Jesus on our Gregorian calendar for this year?
Well, you know what, John? I'm going to tell everybody that when we return after a short break.
Okay, well, this is Shofar Ministries, and we are a 501c3. Any and all donations are tax deductible and extremely important to keep this vital Hebraic Roots ministry on the air. Use PayPal on the website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations automatically put you on the informative newsletter, so include your email address as well as you have one. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by yours truly.
Oh, yes, I just love that. I'm glad we're playing that today.
I am, too. Haven't heard it in a while.
Stay with us now. Don't go away.
There are many areas in life where it makes sense to cut corners in terms of finances. You can get by with an older car, eat out a little less, and still make a statement with last season's clothes. When it comes to your mattress, however, cutting corners can prevent you from getting the sleep you need, and thereby from feeling and performing at your best. This is Robin Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory, and many of you might be sleeping on an old or worn-out mattress that hinders instead of helps you sleep. Perhaps you can feel the inner springs and wake up stiff and sore, but figure a little stretching will solve the problem. Or maybe you are still sleeping on the old twin-size bed that you had as a child, but put up with the fact that your feet hang off the end because it's still softer than the floor. In any case, consider making an investment in yourself and get the comfort, support, and durability you need at the Original Mattress Factory.
The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp. Or check us out on the web at originalmattress.com.
The 2012s are rolling in, and the 2011s must go.
Go.
It's the model year on clearance sale at Rick Case Hyundai. Hi, I'm Dave Eigelhart, General Manager. This week, at both Rick Case Hyundai locations, find clearance prices on all remaining 2011 Hyundais. Savings up to $10,000 on Santa Fe, Sonata, Tucson's, Accents, Elantras, and even the luxurious Genesis Coupe and Sedan. Plus, buy today, and you're in the clear till next year. Put zero down and zero payments until 2012. Every new Rick Case Hyundai comes with our exclusive 3-day money-back guarantee. And only Rick Case doubles America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty to 20 years, 200,000 miles on purchased vehicles. Plus, we've got Toyota and Honda here on our lot for you to drive and compare. Huge clearance savings, and you're in the clear till next year. See us for details. The model year-end clearance sale this week at Rick Case Hyundai on I-90 at East 200 Street or on the Bedford Auto Mile, or shop or buy from home at rickcase.com.
WHKW Cleveland, WHKZ Warren, your home for Christian talk and biblical teaching, a service of Salem Communications.
What you're about to hear are the real experiences of women over 40 who finally lost weight by becoming hormonally balanced again.
I lost 20 pounds.
I lost 40 pounds.
I lost 55 pounds.
I went from a size 14 to a size 8.
Their secret is Amberin, the revolutionary formula for women over 40 that balances hormones naturally. The leading cause of weight gain over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. But Amberin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall right off, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, like hot flashes, night sweats, low libido, difficulty concentrating, and more. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Call 1-800-318-8232. That's 1-800-318-8232. 1-800-318-8232.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. One of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song by the Commodore Cove West Street Band from Aurora, Ohio. That was me. And anyway, yeah, the lines are open now, you have a question, just call us. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 677-9673. Hey, welcome back. You're still listening to Shofar Ministries Hour. We just had a great little teaching there on the Feast of Lights, the Feast of Tabernacles. But I wanted, before we get back into this, I want to remind you, our next Shofar Ministries Hour will be Sunday, October 9th. But it's a new time. Pay attention here. It's going to be 9 p.m. And if you also, I want to mention this too, if you want to be on our mailing list, either send your request to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just send a regular old letter via post office if you don't have the internet, and send it to this address, P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if possible, tuck in a little love offering to help us stay on the air, won't you? God will bless you for it. I know he will.
Oh, I know that too.
And I got to tell you, we're going to be again on the first Friday of the month, and that falls on when, Sheila?
October
7th at Chester Christian Center, and that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road on Route 306. That's in Chesterland, Ohio. I got to think for a minute there. And, of course, you know, we always tell you, if you need directions, just call Sheila. Can I give you the number? 440-834-9006. She'd be happy to tell you how to get there. We'll be out there Friday. We'll be doing some Messianic worship music.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Yom Kippur.
Is that next Friday, John?
Is that next Friday?
No.
No.
It's the week after.
It's the week after.
Okay.
It's week. And we're going to be doing the song High Priest.
Yes.
I wrote that down because we thought that'd be a good one to do that. Yeah, we're going to probably play Kol Nidre because I cannot sing that, but maybe somebody will come forward and sing that, and we'll hear some traditional things. So, but before we went to the break, we were talking about this Feast of Tabernacles,
right,
that had different names, the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of Booths, mm-hmm, and then the Feast of Lights, and you told us how in during the temple times that they would use the priest's undergarments, which they didn't wear that much, so they weren't dirty, and I'm sure they laundered them, and they would use them to twist them together and make these wicks for these giant 75-foot candles that would be placed at the four corners of the temple, I guess, and light up the whole...
In the outer court.
On the outer court, light up the whole outer court, and you could see Jerusalem for miles. So
So a city,
you know, there's your light. You know, there's the light, and we're supposed to shine like that, incidentally. And the other thing you mentioned, too, was that Jesus' garments, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Those cloths were actually those garments.
Mm-hmm.
So at birth, he had the priest's garments on.
That's right.
So not only is he our king, and not only is he our deliverer and our savior.
He's our priest.
He's our priest, too.
Yeah, and high priest. And my gosh. But just think of how God set this all up.
Mm-hmm.
And even set up the fact that he would be there in Jerusalem when these lights are being lit and him standing back and saying in John 8, I am the light of the world. I love that.
Oh, that must have been so cool.
It is.
Oh.
It is. But I told you that I would tell everyone when I believe Jesus' real birthday is, and as I've already said, I believe he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, but actually the very first day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? On a full moon. And that would be this year, October 13th.
So should we start?
On our calendar this year, change it.
Okay.
But this year is October 13th.
So what are we going to do?
We're going to have a birthday party.
Okay. Who's bringing the cake?
Yes, we are going to do that. You are. So anyway, we want to continue with our study. And I know there's so much to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles that we are going to extend it. And when we come back in 2 weeks on the 9th, will be the Sunday before Tabernacles begins. So we're going to finish up Tabernacles and probably review a little of this and talk about Jesus' birthday. And
eat cake.
That's all you think about.
What's cake? Well, what about meat? We should eat meat too, right?
Meat. Yes, here's some real meat. All right, now we're going to talk about something deep.
Okay.
Okay, so you all might want to take a few notes on this one.
Okay.
But I'm going to explain to you another way to confirm that Jesus was indeed born the first day of Tabernacles. And here's how we do it.
Okay.
First, I must explain the division of the priestly tribe of Aaron's grandsons. Okay, now first of all, Aaron had four sons, but two died early and without children. The other two had 24 children between them, 16 from Eleazar and 8 from Ithamar. And of course, that's 24. These 24 would serve as priests in the temple, which were also called courses. Okay?
So that was like a period of time? You served a course?
A week.
Okay.
Yes. And you can read about that a little more extensively in 1 Chronicles 24.
Okay.
But each course would be named after the head of that particular family. Okay?
Makes sense.
And each course served for 1 week, as I said, in the first half of the year, and for another week, the second half of the year. In addition, they would all serve during the week of Passover, during the week that included Pentecost, and the week of Tabernacles. And they were all required to be present.
Oh, that was mandatory.
Yes,
according
to Deuteronomy 16:16. So again, if you're out there listening and you're taking notes, please write down these scriptures so that you can check out what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very important. Don't ever take anybody's word for anything.
That's right. And you got to remember, too, we're not always right.
No.
And you might find something and go, hey, you're wrong, call us.
That's right.
You know, so.
Iron sharpens iron, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, therefore, the first course served the first week of the biblical calendar year, which is Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
The second course would serve the second week. And then all the courses, because it would be Passover, and then they would go back and do the third course and so on until Pentecost when they would all serve again.
It's one of the ones where they were all required, it was mandatory for them to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's where we get into the important part. In 1 Chronicles 24:10, it lists the course of Abijah, who's the grandson of Aaron, as the eighth course, or would serve the ninth week, because they all served during Passover.
Okay, so it's possible to figure out when this.
That's not really that difficult. If you take it slow,
mm-hmm.
pay attention to what you're reading.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then.
I go along with that.
Go to my archives in about a week and listen to it again. And
reiterate.
Yes. Okay.
Again and again and
but
again.
But let's keep going. So the ninth week then, from Nisan 1, would be the week just before Pentecost. And I'm saying this because I want you to see that I have connected the dots and want to share with you that John the Baptist was not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but conceived during the Feast of Pentecost. When, as you know, Acts chapter 2, believers were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where we want to get into your Bible. Luke 1, particularly verse 5. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah.
Oh, I know what that is now.
Yes, and if you hadn't known a little bit of Hebraic roots, when you read that in Luke, you go, well, that's good. What do I care about that for?
Yeah, but now I know it's a course, and
that's
it's
right.
And Abijah was a grandson of Aaron.
Yes. And you also know, because you've looked it up in First Chronicles, that he would have been serving in the ninth week from Nisan.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So we can pin the time down.
That's
here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zacharias had a wife from the daughters of Aaron also, and her name was Elizabeth. And, of course, she's the mother of John the Baptist. Now, the main clue here is that Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, was performing his bi-yearly duties as priest in the temple. So it was that while he was serving as priest, this is verses 8 and 9, before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood. Do you see why God...
Does it say that in the scripture?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
I've never seen that.
Well, let's look at it then if you want to. Luke 1.
I've seen it. I've read it. I probably just didn't pay attention to it.
Well, I don't think... Yeah, right.
Is that,
you know what you're looking for.
Now, see, here's why we say there's nothing in the Bible that's superfluous or it's just added on there just to make the story good. Every little word and every
yes.
little punctuation
is there for a reason.
It's there for a reason, and it's important, too.
That's right. So I'm turning to Luke 1,
mm-hmm.
and in verse 8 it says, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood. Now, if you go back up, you'll see that it says in verse 5 of the division of Abijah. So
I would have never seen that.
So when you go and find out what week that was, you know that it was the ninth week of the year. Now, this is very important because it's going to tell us when John the Baptist was conceived.
Okay.
And since we know that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus, because the scriptures say so.
Okay.
And then we figure out that John the Baptist was born during Passover. 6 months later is Tabernacles. It's really very simple.
Oh.
But let's
do that again. Say that again.
Okay. So he's serving in the ninth week. The next week would be the time of Pentecost when Elizabeth conceived. And it says so in the scriptures
mm-hmm.
that Elizabeth would be with child. And it would be metatata in the Greek, which means immediately when he finished his course.
Oh, okay.
So isn't it fitting that John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, would have been conceived during Pentecost?
Because that's the day the Holy Spirit was given.
It's amazing. It's amazing, these details.
Oh, my God. You'll see there's no such thing as coincidence in the Bible here. Ooh.
That's right.
No.
So, 9 months later from Pentecost, of course, is Passover. And isn't it fitting that at the Seder meal they would set out a cup for Elijah, and John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and that would have been he was born during Passover. Conceived at Pentecost and born at Passover.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and this is what Hebraic Roots is all about, people. Just knowing a little bit of information, not taking it too extreme, legalistic, you know, all that stuff that some do, by the way. But just understanding your roots will give you this kind of information.
And we also pray there's any Jewish listeners out there and you know your Torah real well and you know this stuff. You know how this falls down
mm-hmm.
and how this comes together. This really should speak to your heart.
That's right. And John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, so naturally he came first.
Yeah, they had that door open for Elijah. Hey, there he was.
Yeah, every little detail.
Every little detail, yes.
And we are also told that Elizabeth, according to Scripture, was 6 months along when Mary was told she would bear the Son of God.
Hmm.
6 months from Pentecost would be Hanukkah.
Okay.
I believe with all my heart that Mary was incarnated with Jesus on the eighth day of Hanukkah. Because when you count 280 days, the normal gestation period, it comes to the first of Tabernacles.
Nine lunar months, right?
Yes, lunar months.
Lunar months, 280 days.
Well, and 10 days.
And 10 for good measure.
I counted each day on the calendar.
Wow.
And it came to the eighth day of Hanukkah when she would have been incarnated with Jesus, and then he would be born on the first of Tabernacles. So he was not only born on the Feast of Lights, he was incarnated on the Feast of Lights, because Hanukkah is also called the Feast of Lights.
So he was born on the smaller light, or incarnated on the smaller Festival of Lights, is that what you say? And then born on the Tabernacles. The big
greater
festival.
Feast of Lights.
Greater Feast of Lights.
Yes.
Well, that
yes.
makes so much sense, though.
It is absolutely amazing.
That's
And it's so easy once you see it.
Now, when I hear this, Sheila, I get confident in the Scriptures.
Yes.
And when I get confident in the Scriptures,
faith builder.
It builds my faith, and we know that our confidence is our hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this confidence now that these Scriptures are written by the hand of God, through the prophets.
Absolutely.
And through the men of old.
In any other way.
And it's amazing. I love it.
Isn't it interesting, too, that he was incarnated on the eighth day of Hanukkah, and eight is his number. Never ending. You don't see
it. Oh, yeah, eight.
The number doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
Thank you.
I love that one. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, Hanukkah had so much meaning for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So much meaning.
Yes. Amen. Oh, so exciting. So exciting to be able to be alive during the end days and having God, through His Holy Spirit, teach us more knowledge than He's ever before.
Yeah, and not that Hanukkah doesn't have any meaning, but just it has a great meaning.
Oh, it has a great meaning.
But when Jesus is there and you see Yeshua in Hanukkah, it's really, really so cool.
I know. There's still some more confirmation in Leviticus 23, and write this down and look it up later, although I'll read it, 42 and 43. Why don't you read it, John?
Okay, it says, "You shall dwell in booths," or tents, "for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
Okay, so I believe since they had to build these booths in Israel, and he was born in the Feast of Tabernacles, that he was probably born in a sukkah, in a booth, which is just another name for where they would keep cattle.
Well, that's
Genesis
true.
Genesis 33:17, it says that. It's even called a sukkah.
Well, that's true, and that word was used in Genesis for a temporary
mm-hmm.
place. What about place to keep lambs?
That's right. And of course, this would be very available since the Jews always built these outside booths during this feast as a memorial of how God protected them during the 40 years of their wilderness wanderings. It was no accident that the inn was full. God wanted him to be born in a sukkah.
Yeah.
Because that would fulfill the fulfillment of the Jewish tradition.
Okay, so that...
And Leviticus 23.
That lets all the innkeepers of that time off the hook.
That's right.
It was supposed to happen that way. Don't worry. I wonder if they're still regretting. Oh, I could have.
Yeah.
Jesus could have been born in my hotel. But nope. God wanted him to be born in a temporary shelter.
That's right. The sukkah or booth symbolizes man's need to depend upon God for his provision of food, water, and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is true in the spiritual realm as well. The booth is a type of the physical body, a temporary dwelling place for our souls and spirits. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. We need the food that the Word of God provides. And of course, Matthew 6. Talks about that, John 6. But the cleansing, the rinsing, and washing that the Word of God brings to us and the shelter of God's protection over our lives from the evil one, and our physical needs will be provided for by God if we seek Him spiritually through His word and prayer. And that's a promise.
Yes,
it is.
We will
always have food, clothing, and shelter. We might not have a Benz, or is that what you call it? A Benz?
A Mercedes. A Mercedes Benz.
Yeah, that's it.
You might not even have cable. You might not have a flat screen TV.
That's right.
But
or
you know what?
Might have bald tires. Oh, my gosh.
We could write a song, you know, with this, but that's true.
That's right.
He sees to our needs. And even in the wilderness, it said that the shoes on their feet did not wear out.
That's right.
Even though they lived in the wilderness. God took care of them, fed them with manna from heaven, so they never went hungry.
That's right.
And they brought forth water from a rock when they were in a desert and they were thirsty.
Yes. I saw a picture of that, what they think was that rock.
Yeah, that gives you goosebumps
yeah.
to see that.
Yeah,
it is. It is split. And there is evidence of a great body of water rushing, flowing in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
And next time we get together, which is October 9th, we're going to continue and talk even a little bit more about the other idioms and some of the things that they did. For instance, one of the ceremonies was called the House of the Water Pouring.
Hmm.
And they would actually take running water from the Pool of Siloam in Shiloh, mm-hmm. which is the name for the Messiah, called Living Water.
Mayim Chayim.
Mayim Chayim.
Mm-hmm.
And poured it out at the same time as wine is poured from a vessel together over the altar.
This is during Tabernacles, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a type of Jesus' side being pierced, where blood and water streamed out of his body.
Are you seeing that? I'm seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And here, and it's here that Jesus again uses an opportunity to declare to the people, in John 8:37, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Do you see how all the feasts, and you read the Gospel of John, you'll notice that each mm-hmm. feast surrounds something that Jesus was doing. He used the feast to teach.
Actually, the Gospel of John is where you really see him fulfilling, doing the fulfilling.
And that's why it's amazing how mm-hmm. I was told when I first received the Lord as my Savior to read the book of the Gospel of John.
Well, see, that makes it important.
But they didn't tell me
why.
For that reason.
Yeah, they don't tell you why. Just read it. Okay. And well, but there's other phrases, right? And,
yep.
and idioms for tabernacles. And
yes.
do we have time to cover some of those? Or?
Well, we'll definitely go into it more next time. But there's like the Feast of Nations, also the Feast of Dedication, because they dedicated the temple during this time, in Solomon's time. And there's other ceremonies that we're going to elaborate on and take it more in detail, like mm-hmm. the lulav and the etrog and things like that.
Oh, yes, and the waving to the east, north, south, east, and west.
Yeah, we're going to talk all about that. Yeah. And then, of course, review all the feasts because we've been talking about just the fall feasts, and we need to put them all together next week and kind of summarize them. But the main thing is, remember this. God organized detailed requirements for his first chosen Jewish people with definite customs using particular phrases that Jesus, who was also Jewish, would use to give us huge clues so to learn how it will be with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.
And Paul confirms that too in Romans where he says that things written before us for our learning.
It's for our learning today. If you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you are concerned that you might be one of those that just has the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, or maybe your parents know him as your Savior and you think because they know him that you do, but you really don't. All you have to do is, during this time of Teshuvah, turn to God, turn away from your sin, turn towards God, and repent of your individual sins that seem to be lingering in your life. Commit or recommit your soul, your body, your spirit to Yeshua. He's the Messiah of all. But always remember, it's your choice to choose him, making it your decision. And you know, our God says, choose life. And here's how you can do it. Choose where you spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where you will go when you die. Because your soul never dies, and it has to go somewhere. And there's only two places. So why not? With God. In heaven. instead of Satan. You decide, okay?
That's right.
Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Why? You going to tell me why, Sheila?
Because he wants us to know him more than our good works.
That's right. Do you have a question, or would you like Sheila and I to speak at your church or group? You may email us at sheila@shofarministries.net. And another reminder, we'll be teaching on end time prophecy at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland Friday night at 7 p.m. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yesa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, and give you peace. Shalom till next time.
Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM.